he's at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Wait a minute. Did you get that, sister? I've set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is made glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. What do you mean, psalmist? You've set the Lord always before you. Because he's at your right hand, you shall not be shaken. He's saying, I have put my face to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is my strength. Whenever you hear the Bible talk about the right hand, it's talking about strength. Because he is my strength, not my own strength, not my own power. Because he is my strength, I shall not be shaken. It's not that we're not shaken because of our power, our might, and our strength. No, no, no. When we rely on ourselves, we'll always be shaken. Always. But because he is our strength, he is my right hand, he is the arm that I lean upon. Oh, come on. Preach with me, people. Let's wake up and let's just worship the Lord this morning. He's your strength. He's the one that got you out of bed this morning. The Holy Spirit quickened you and said, rise up. Let's go to church and let's worship the Lord. Some of you, it's been a hard week. Some of you, it was hard to even get here this morning, but you made it. You made it. Hallelujah. You made it. That's something to rejoice about. That's something to give God glory about, because he's doing it. I've set the Lord always before me. Well, you ain't going to stir yourselves up. I'm going to stir you up. Because I love you that much. I love you that much. Stir you up. I've set the Lord always before me. Not Fox News. I set the Lord always before me. Not CNN. I've set the Lord always before me. Not YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I've set the Lord always before me. I've set the Lord always before me. We have to discipline ourselves, church. We have to discipline ourselves. If the first thing we do in the morning when we wake up and turn our alarms off on our phones is reach for our social media page so we can scroll a little bit and see what's on there, then you're not setting the Lord always before you. The first thing you're doing is setting that before you. And you're allowing these things to inundate your mind and your spirit. And it's giving you direction for your life. And you don't even realize it. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I just like to watch little funny little clips and funny little things. Yeah, but every once in a while in there's something in there that will stir your emotions up and cause you to either be afraid, angry, frustrated, distracted. I'm not saying that those things are wrong. I'm on all of them. I think some of the things on there are great. They encourage me. It's all the stuff in between. So I got to set the Lord always before me first before I ever go to those things. Because if I don't, then I can get off track and become out of alignment with the heart of God. And I can think it's my job to convince people that my way's right. Or I can say, God, you are the God of the universe, of all creation, and I've set you before me today. What is it that you would have me to do? What is it that you want me to do today, Lord? I have set the Lord always before me. Guess what? That's your first sermon today. Sermon number one. Who's keeping count? I'm going to preach a bunch of them today. Because I'm going to stir you up. Listen, God is God. forgotten that God is God. And nothing is impossible with God. We allow these things to overwhelm us and overtake our souls. And if not careful, we'll allow our souls to become tied to things that are of this generation and that will fade away. You don't want your soul to be tied to something that's not eternal, because the soul is supposed to live forever. Amen? 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 Y'all know what that means, right? So be it, or let it be so. Yes. Yes, come on. Hallelujah. Talk to me. I'm excited to be here this morning, if you can't tell. I like coming to church and being in the house of God with the people of God. And I know I've been telling you guys this in different times and different things that we've been doing, but I'm just going to keep reminding you of it. 1 John chapter 1 tells us that God is light. Here's sermon number 2 for you, okay? God is light, and in him is no darkness. And that we can be in the light as he is the light. And guess what he says then? And when we do that, we will have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus. I need a Hammond B right now. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse us of all sin and unrighteousness. Why is that? Because we chose to have fellowship with him in the light. And when we come together in that, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all the nastiness of this world and makes us to also shine the light of Christ. And we share it with each other. That's why I like coming to church. That's why I'm excited to be here this morning. And I'm excited about what God has in store for us and what he has been speaking to us. Amen? Now, I am going to dismiss the students this morning. You guys can go back. There you have some cool things that they're going to be doing this morning. And if you have your Bible, I'm going to start sermon number 3. Sermon number 2 was short. And we have started this series called Like Jesus. Like Jesus. How do you want to be like Jesus? Raise your hand if you think you are just like Jesus. Come on, raise them. You are just like Jesus. Yeah. Now, Sister Sandy said it right. We're striving to be. We're working to be. We're asking God to teach us how to just be like him in everything that we're doing. And so that's why we're preaching this series. Pastor Alicia kicked us off last week, and she gave you our vision statement. Is to be like Jesus in all we think, say, and do. This is what we want to see. That's why it's called a vision. We want to see this in our lives, in this church, in the people around us. We want to be like Jesus in all we think, say, and do. And that means that if we're going to be like Jesus, we got to know what Jesus was like. And if we're going to know what Jesus was like, what do we have to do? Read the Word. Because he is the Word. Amen? So we want to be like Jesus. We have to get in our Word. We have to know what it says. And Pastor Alicia started with this passage in 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to read it to you. It's in the NLT. I want to just remind you of some things she said last week. And if you weren't here, go back on our website. Click on watch live stream and go below, and there's archived sermons there. And we'll go watch this message because it's so good. It says this, 1 Peter 1:14-16. So you must live as God's obedient children. Everybody say obedience. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to sanctify your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God has chose you, who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. And last week we talked about and saw holiness in all we think. In all we think. And she set the stage of holiness. And there's a few things I want to tell you that she said. First of all, she talked about holy unto the Lord, which is on the banner of the metal plate that wore the headdress of the priest, right? Holy unto the Lord, that the top of him was stating that he was sanctified and set apart. That word holy just means to be set apart from and to. What does from and to mean? Let me hit this real quick. See, sometimes we forget this. We think that we've just been set apart. And God's taken us. Yeah, you didn't know you had to work this morning, did you? God's taken us and just set us apart. And we just hanging out here. I'm set apart. I'm different. I'm set apart. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not with everybody else. I'm not hanging with everybody else. I don't act like everybody else. And what happens when we don't understand the full part of sanctification is we realize we're all by ourselves and we start trying to do it on our own. I got to look different. I got to act different. I got to think different. I got to talk different. And we tell ourselves this and we try to do it by ourselves in our own strength because we think we're set apart. But here's the thing. We're not set away from the world only. We're also set apart to something. You following me? So we're not just set apart away from our generation and the customs and the cultures of this generation, but we're set apart to something. You see, when she came to me in Lima, Ohio, and walked down the aisle, she looked like a beautiful queen, dressed in white. And up to that point, she had belonged to her mother and father. She had been set apart to them. She was connected, even by her name, to them. But she came and walked down an aisle, and her father and mother and stepfather told the preacher that day when he asked, who gives this woman to be married to this man? They said, we do. And guess what happened? She was then set apart from them and set to me. You better believe, amen. Glory, hallelujah. She became mine. But I had to understand something first. That first and foremost, she was already set apart to somebody else. Oh, come on, preach with me this morning. She was set apart to God. And this is a daughter of the Most High God. And he was allowing me to be a steward of her and be connected to her in a way that no other person would be connected to her in the earth through the covenant of marriage. And so not only was she set apart to me, but she was first set apart to God. That's what it means to be holy. It's called holy matrimony for a reason. Because it's a holy institution that God gave us. She don't belong to any other guy. She don't go hanging around with any other guy. She don't go hanging around with any other guy. You hear me this morning? I don't have to worry about that with her anyway. Because she's been set apart. And what sanctified or holy means is now you have a closeness and relationship to God. That's why God shows our relationship between Jesus and the church as a marriage. Ephesians chapter 5. Go read it. Go study it. It's good stuff. Thank you, darling. You can sit down. Holy. That's what holy means, to be set apart from something and to something else. Don't ever forget that. You're not alone. You're not sitting there in a corner by yourself trying to get it done all by your lonesome. You belong to Jesus Christ. You are His. And the more you walk closely with Him, live your life closely with Him, then the more you'll understand who He is. You see, He said, I am holy. So you are to be holy. There's a difference. He is the I am God. You follow me this morning? He's the I am God. He's already in existence. There's no beginning or end to Him. He is the I am. But He invited the human beings, those who He brought into existence, as He is, I am holy. Now you be, human beings, be holy. We cannot be holy apart from Him, because He is the I am holiness. So when we come and be with Him, when we're in relationship with Him, when we exist with Him, the human beings be holy because we are with the I am holy. That fires me up. That means it's not about my works. It's not about what I do. It's not about how hard I try. It's not about how me figuring it all out. It's just me coming to Jesus. And when I am in proximity to Jesus and closeness with Jesus, then He makes me holy. Hallelujah. It's not about my works. It's not about what I'm doing. It's about who I'm hanging with. That's holiness. It's so simple. The church has perverted it and made it so hard. But it's so simple. Just hang with Jesus. You keep hanging with Jesus and the things that aren't right in your life, they're going to either go away or you're going to go away. They'll just leave you. So we want to be holy. Not in just what we say, but what we do. And so this is the scripture that God gave me. I want you to go with me to Psalms 19, verse 14. Because this is a great segue into today. And the message that God gave me today. This is a prayer. And if you have your Bible with you this morning, you don't have to do this, but I encourage you to do this. If you have a highlighter or a pen, however you mark in your Bible, you need to either highlight, underline, put an asterisk by this, put a star. However you need to denote this, maybe write it down in your notes. Psalms 19, 14. This is something that you can begin to pray yourself. You begin to declare it yourself over your life. And this is what it says. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now, I don't have time to break all this down for you, but I want you to see the two things that we're talking about. First of all, last week we talked about be like Jesus or like Jesus in all we think, to be holy in our thoughts, right? What is the meditation of your heart? What is the meditation of your heart? You see, it is the heart, the soul, the mind, the inner man that's all connected together. And if anybody tells you how they know how they all separate, they can figure out how it all works, they're lying to you. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are the creations of God Himself. And only God knows how our soul, our heart, and our mind all works together. Who knows? It may be just three words for the same thing. Or it may be three different things that are connected together. All I know is that they work and function together. And when I allow the Spirit of God to come in my life and to sanctify me and I become His, then He redeems that part of my life, the inner man. And He sets it free from the sinful acts of this world. And He sets my course on heaven. And one day I won't just have a glorified inside, I'll have a glorified outside when I cross over into glory. You following me? So it's the working on the inside of us. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, God, not to me, not to my friends, not to my family. Is it acceptable to you? See, this is something we struggle with. We think we're good because what we're meditating on is what our friends are meditating on. Because I have company, I'm good. Everything's all right. But did God say it was good? What are you thinking about? What is meditation? It's what we're thinking about. It's what we're concentrating on. See, we've gotten so goofy. I sit back and look at our generation, folks, and the scripture always comes to me, ever learning, but never coming to the understanding, the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. We're always learning something new. We're always adding words to our vocabulary, but we don't even know the meanings of those words. And now with the internet and everything that we get inundated with there, we think we know something, but it's not even true. It may be AI generated. It may be something that somebody heard. So they shared this thing and that thing, and now it gets repeated and repeated. And if it's repeated enough, then it has to be true, right? How many remember that old commercial when the girl hooked up with the French guy? Said he was a French model, and then they show the guy. You guys remember that commercial? Some of you nodding heads, some of you don't. First of all, he didn't look French. Second of all, he didn't look like a model. But this girl supposedly believed it because that's what the internet said. He was a French model. And the camera turns to him and he's like, bonjour. Right? Just because it's out there and repeated doesn't mean it's true. But we meditate on these things and we think about these things and we talk about these things and we're setting those things in our mind before us. And if we're not careful, what we're thinking about is not pleasing to the Lord. It's pleasing to our flesh, but not the Lord. It's pleasing to our peers, but not the Lord. It's pleasing to our family members, but not the Lord. What are we meditating on? And I want to use this analogy again because it was so good. I want to remind you of this analogy that Pastor Alicia gave you last week. We cannot stop a bird from flying over our head, but we can always stop it from making a nest. That's what she said to us. We can't stop these thoughts that want to come into our hearts and minds, but we can stop them from taking residence there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What do? We pull down every stronghold and take out every thought that tries to exalt itself above what? The knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. If you look up what that says there, it actually means to arrest it. Arrest it. Put handcuffs on it and throw it in a jail somewhere and get it out of your head. So holiness in all we think is connected, according to this scripture in Psalms, to what we also say. Because he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. So we can't just stop and say, well, God, I want to have holy thoughts. And let me just say this to somebody that might be struggling with this. When you pray and ask God for holy thoughts, let me tell you something. You're going to get bombarded with thoughts that aren't holy. That's just the truth of the matter. Just don't meditate on those thoughts. Kick them out. Move them on. Say, keep going. Look, I can't stop a bird from flying over my head, but I can stop it from making a nest. Now, I don't know why I would want to make a nest on this head, but I can stop it from making a nest, right? I can stop those thoughts from controlling me. I can stop those conversations that I have by myself as I'm driving down the road because I'm frustrated with this person and that person. And I say, well, I'm going to say this, and then they're going to say that, and then I'll say this, and then they'll say this. And you don't know what they're going to say because you ain't talking to them. You can stop yourself from going down that road. You are the only one that has that power because the Holy Spirit has enabled you to do so. You see, what happens, though, is our mind and our mouth are connected. And now when we begin to meditate on things, then we begin to speak things. We begin to say things. And I'm going to tell you something, church. I'll be the first to raise my hand that I am guilty of this. God, forgive me. I'll be the first to tell you that. But here's what happens. We begin to say things and declare things, and we don't even realize what we're saying over our life. We don't even understand what's happening because of what is coming out of our mouth, because we have been so blinded in the meditation of our hearts and minds first that things just start to flow out. What does James say about the tongue? It's unruly evil. And you can bridle a beast, but you can't hardly bridle the tongue. So what we say matters. See, words matter. And this is what's going to help you with the meditation of your heart. Is when you begin to speak the things of God out of your mouth, then the meditation of your heart and mind will change. But when you keep talking the junk that you've been talking, when you keep meeting people at the water cooler, in the break room, and keep talking the junk you've been talking with them, then the meditation of your heart and mind is going to be on that. That's why we need to begin to pray. Let the words of my heart and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, God. He's my Lord. And what is He? He's my rock or my foundation, and He is the one that redeemed me. He bought me with His blood. I belong to Him, and I want to be acceptable unto Him. Amen? So words matter. You got to get this. Words matter. What we say matters. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says this. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I want you to ask yourself something. This is something that I'm trying to do, that I'm working discipline in my life to do. And I want you to ask yourself this. Are your words building up or are they tearing down? How are you talking about the situations that you've been praying about? Have you ever listened to your prayers? Years ago, God told me to start writing in a prayer journal. I write my prayers out. And let me tell you something I realized real quick. When you can read what you're praying, you realize how pitiful your prayers are. When you can read what you're praying, you realize how much you really ain't praying and you just complaining. When you begin to hold yourself accountable for what starts coming out of this or coming out of this or coming out of this, because your hands count too of your talking nowadays, because we text and we get on our keyboards and we say a whole lot and we've made it okay. Our generation has made it okay to do so. And when things go out, we can't bring them back. Remember, I told you, church, I'm the first to raise my hand that I'm guilty of these things. And God is dealing with me, and I'm walking through it. And I am just inviting you to join me on this journey. Do you know what would happen if just this church alone started saying, you know what? I'm not going to take part in any of that stuff anymore. I'm not going to be a part of those things anymore. I'm not going to let that self-talk sound like that anymore, because that don't sound like the Bible I read. So I'm not going to talk to myself that way. I'm not going to talk to my friends and my neighbors, my family members that way anymore. I am not going to let any corrupt disgusting thing come out of my mouth. But I'm only talk about what is good and holy, so that it gives grace to everyone that hears. I mean, we have excused ourselves in the church world so that we can gossip by saying, well, I have a prayer request. I need you to know the information so you know how to pray. Now listen, I believe that to a certain extent, okay? Knowledge can empower us. But let me tell you something. When all else fails, call on the name of Jesus, the name above every name. And we don't need to know every detail of the situation to call on the name of Jesus on behalf of somebody else. We don't need to know the detail of the situation to begin to cry out and pray the word of God over people. We don't have to know all the ins and the outs of what's going on. You see, our flesh wants to know all the ins and the outs of what's going on. We don't need to know that. We just need to pray. We just need to call upon the Lord. And if we're not careful, we will let corrupt communication come out of our mouth disguised as something holy, and it has nothing to do with holiness. And our minds will begin to meditate on all the junk, on all the bad stuff, on all the disparity, on all the horrible situations about it. We will begin to meditate on that. And when we go to the Lord in prayer for the situation, all we're going to do is think, man, this is a mess, God. This is terrible, God. I don't know what we're going to do about this, God. I don't know if you can even help us, God. And there's no faith in our prayers because we have already let doubt enter in because of how we've been talking about the situation. See, we get uncomfortable sometimes because we're like, well, we gotta be real, Pastor. I mean, there's an issue. You better believe there's an issue. And it starts with this sometimes. I'm not sitting here and denying things, acting like everything's okay. The reason we pray is because we know there's a problem. Sometimes things just baffle me. People want to be, well, you know, Pastor, I mean, you got to be careful. You don't want to get into that name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, doctrinal stuff. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not talking about so you can become a millionaire. I'm talking about praying and talking to God and saying what His Word says, not what everybody else says. Sometimes I've looked back at how I prayed about situations and thought, Joe, you're a big dummy. You think God didn't know all that already? He didn't need you to show up and tell Him all the bad stuff about the problem. What He needed you to do is to get a hold of the seed of faith that He gave you. Oh, come on, church. Just to get a hold of that little seed of faith and let it begin to grow and to trust God and say, God, I'm giving it to You. I'm trusting You in this. I'm believing in You in this. I know what everybody else says. I know what the diagnosis says. I know that long word that the doctor says I have that I can't even pronounce, and you know what it means, but I know the God that I serve, and I believe in You. That's what needs to come out of our mouths. Let no corrupting talk come out of our mouths. We can't allow these things to begin to flow out of us, because then we'll realize that we have stopped tapping in to the well of living water, or the river of living water, and we've tapped into some other well, and now bitter water is coming out of us. And the Bible says this, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Wow. Wow. on the day of judgment, we're going to give account for every careless word we spoke. That's a sobering scripture. And we will either be justified or condemned according to what we said. Think about that. Not what we did, what we said. That's crazy, church. Because you know what we concentrate on all the time? What are we doing? Well, what are we doing? What are we going to do about this? God says, no, I'm not holding you accountable for what you did. I'm holding you accountable for what you said. Why is that? Because what we say dictates what we do. What we say matters. I was praying this morning, and I'm just going to be real transparent with you. I was praying, and I said, God, I was praying for you guys. And I said, God, let them be here this morning. I know it's been a struggle for you guys to get here. And my soul leapt for joy when I saw you guys pull in. I said, thank God we get to be together in the same building today. We're together in the Spirit. We're praying together. We're believing God together. But we get to be together in the same building today. That's a blessing. And I'm going to just tell you, it's for selfish reasons. Because I said, if Sister Sandy's there, I can use her as an example. You've ever asked this woman of God, how you doing today? I'm blessed. Some of you already started saying, I'm blessed and highly favored. Do you think she does that because she's being an ostrich, sticking her head in the sand, pretending like nothing bad's happening around her? No. If you know her, you know that's not true. Why does she say that? Because she understands the importance of what comes out of her mouth, and she's declaring the word of the Lord over her life and her family's life. That's why she says that. It's not that she's not a realist. Well, you know, Sister Sandy just knew. Oh, if you only you knew. You need to sit down and know her story. Hear some of the things that God has walked her through. You see, even that, we say that wrong. Oh, the things that people go through, the things you've been through. No. It's the things that God walked us through. Come on, church. It's the things that God takes us through, that gets us through it. He's the one that does it. If you only knew what God has done for her, you've heard her testimony, then you know that she means every word she says, that I am blessed and highly favored of God. His favor, His grace is upon my life, and I'm not going to declare anything else over my life. Because that's what the Word of God says. But we get wrapped up in our emotions, in all the feels. We want to talk about how we're feeling. Can I just be real blunt with you? Will you still love me if I'm just real hard? I'm so sick of talking about feelings. And I understand it's needed. Okay, I get that. It's needed. Because I lived a while in my life where I didn't know how to even approach feelings and deal with feelings. I was like, keep your head down, Joe. Keep marching. Keep moving forward. And unfortunately, I would do things that would hurt people. Not intentionally, but I'd hurt them because I didn't want to deal with feelings. I didn't want to think about feelings. I just want to move forward. Advance. 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 But here's the problem. We stopped advancing so we could deal with some things, and that was important. But then we set up camp and put a little campfire there, and now we're all singing Kumbaya and talking about our feelings. And we ain't getting anywhere, and we ain't doing anything. And we're meditating upon our feelings instead of saying, no, God said take His faith and believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and let's move forward and build the kingdom. I'm trying to help you this morning. Y'all got super quiet on me. That's okay. I'm going to preach it anyway. Because we need it. We need it. I'm going to give a count for all the campfires I sat around and talked about stuff. I'm going to give a count for all the break rooms I sat in. God brought so clearly. And how many are thankful for His grace and His mercies and His forgiveness? But God brought a situation to my mind so clearly. I was a young man, new in the workforce. I was in the back of a trailer unloading motorcycles. And my coworker sucked me into a conversation. And I was so ashamed of myself. But you know what? I didn't even notice it and didn't even feel the shame until the person we were talking about turned the corner and stepped into the trailer. And I had to recognize first that the only reason I felt like I did is because I felt bad I got caught. And I said, God, forgive me that I didn't feel bad about what I was doing and how I was talking down about this person. Instead, I felt bad because I got caught. I'll give account on Judgment Day for that conversation. And whatever Christ chooses to do, that's His right, because He bled and died for me. But I'm thankful that at the other throne, God just sees the blood of Jesus applied. Amen? And He's teaching me how to do it better the next time. He's teaching me, Joe, stop that. Don't let that come out. Don't enter in that conversation. Don't get pulled in. That's a trap. Watch it. The Holy Spirit is teaching me how to be sensitive to Him so I don't get caught up in the snares and the tricks of the devil. He's teaching me and He's showing me. And so that's what we need to begin to do. And so here's the next point I want to make. First of all, words matter. Second point is this, and I'm going to try to move along because I know I've been preaching for a little bit, but I'm trying to get you to grab a hold of what God has put in my heart today. The second thing is this: words connect. So words matter, but also words connect. What we say associates us with something or someone, and can disassociate us or connect us to someone or something else. So what we say matters because what we say connects. Our words connect us. That's why the Apostle Paul told the churches when he was writing letters to them, saying, hey, we're all going to be saying the same thing here. We're going to be in unity in what we believe. So our words connect us. And I'm just going to hit something real hard just for a few minutes. It's something that's just been stirring in my spirit, bothering me. And I promise you, this is not a fleshly thing. This is not a thing that I'm trying to harp on as a pastor. This is something that God has really put in my heart because I've been praying about this. I've really been praying about this. And I don't understand why we have allowed ourselves as Christians to fall into this trap and lie that, well, you know, we can say words, and it's really not a sin. It's okay to use some words that in the past the church looked down upon and frowned upon. It's okay to say those words because they were just, you know, trying their best, and that was kind of legalism. And no, words matter because words connect us. And so, I don't believe that Christians should cuss. I don't understand why we would. I already read to you that we shouldn't let any corrupting thing come out of our mouth. And we're going to give account for every word that we say. Now, I'm not saying this condemningly. Please understand, I'm not putting anybody down if you're struggling with this. But I want you to be set free from it. And we have a lie going on in our generation that has made it okay. Well, that's not something you need to be set free from. It's okay. No, it's not okay. And I recently heard this, and I began to pray about it. And I thought, this is so good, I'm going to use the same example. And I want you to go with me in this next passage here. I'm just going to read this short little verse, but I'm going to give you the context. I believe it's in Luke. What's our next? Matthew. Oh. Let me pull it up here. Matthew chapter 26, verse 27. 74, sorry. Should have brought my glasses. Looked like a 2 instead of 7. He says this, "Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know the man.' And immediately the rooster crowed." Jesus was arrested and taken before the Sanhedrin. And they were accusing him of all kinds of things. And you know what? The Bible says he didn't say a word. Didn't even open his mouth, didn't say nothing. But Peter, being who Peter was and is, had to know, what's going on here? And so he follows, but he hangs back. He begins to watch what's going on. And somebody notices him. "Hey, aren't you one of those Galileans? Wouldn't you know that guy?" No, I don't know him. Did I know him? Then a second time, no, I'm almost positive. You were with him. And what did he do, church? What did he do to try to separate himself from Jesus and to connect himself to something else? He changed his language. And finally here, he curses and swears. Now, we call cuss words cursing and swearing, because that's what they are. And whether you understand it or not, these words, the reason that people started using these words was to curse people, to put them down, to destroy them, to make them seem like they were smaller than. They were connecting themselves to a group of people who they thought they were more elite than other people. So they began to use words to put them down and to curse them. And that's why I think it's important that we don't just stop at cuss words, Christians. We got to be careful what we say and how we say it, because it connects us to something. And isn't it interesting? Just food for thought. Isn't it interesting that when Peter wanted to separate himself from Jesus, that's when he started cussing? I'm just going to let that marinate for a minute. Because we live in a generation that people say, "Oh, that's not in the Bible. They're nowhere in the Bible. They're just words." I mean, some of them are in the Bible if you read the King James Version. They want to make excuses for their behavior. We want to make excuses for our behavior. But look at this passage in the context of this passage. When Peter, the Apostle Peter, wanted to separate himself from Jesus, that's when he began to command a curse on himself and to swear an oath. And people might want to debate that and say, "Well, it meant this." No, I'm going to tell you something. I think you guys can put 2 and 2 and make it equal 4. This is what Peter was saying. "I'll be blanked." You follow me? "I'll be blanked if you think that I'm part of him. I swear to you, I don't know that guy." That's today's language of what Peter did. He pronounced a curse on himself. You understand? So he could separate himself by the words of his mouth from our Lord Jesus. How many times have we been guilty, Christians, that we are in this setting, we're laughing and joking, and we begin to partake in language we should not be partaking in, or begin to entertain language we should not be entertaining, because we want to fit in with the crowd. And what we're doing is we're literally disconnecting ourselves from Jesus at that moment, only so we can pettily connect ourselves to other people. You see, words connect us. And if we're going to be holy in all we say, that means we got to be holy in all we say all the time. This is old school preaching this morning, but we need it. We need it because we need to start holding ourselves accountable for what we're doing as Christians. Because what you don't realize is while you are having a momentary lapse trying to be cool with the guys or trying to be cool with the gals, other people were watching. People who know you're connected to Jesus. And now they're asking themselves, is that what Jesus looks like? Like Jesus. See, I'm not condemning you this morning, because thank God when we mess up, we have an advocate with the Father. He brings us right back. He forgives us. He sets us free. He redeems us. He helps us. But what I'm trying to do is preach words of conviction to you to convince your heart and mind that you need to separate yourself from things that this generation is saying is okay for you to do. See, words matter, and words connect us. They connect us. And finally, words have power. It's the last point I want to make to you. Words have power. The Bible says in Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of what? What you say. Your words have power. If you can go to that last slide for me, I'm going to bring this home with this. Amazing story. Sister Sue, did you read this book, Don't Sign for the Package? Have you read that book by Pastor Phyllis? You think so? It's a good book, isn't it? It's amazing. And I know you know this story. So she's my witness this morning. I'm not fluffing you up. This is no AI trickery. Pastor Phyllis Dosick went to the doctors one day. She was having some complications. And I don't have time to go on everything, but God, I think if my memory serves me, didn't God end up healing her from 3 uncurable diseases or something like that? Possibly. Yeah, I can't remember it all either, but this one for sure I know God healed her from. This one. This was incurable. She goes to the doctor. She's having some issues. Doctor says, I hate to tell you this, but you have rheumatoid arthritis. It's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. Your situation is going to end up crippling you. And the best we can do is give you medication to slow it down. A lot of hope there, huh? She goes home and she goes to prayer. And she wrote a book about this. It's amazing. You can find it. And if you want to read it, I'll find a way to get it to you. And what they did in the Dosick family is when anything big like that happened, they'd call the whole family in. They'd talk about it. They'd go and pray about it. They would just let them know this is what's going on. They'd pray about it. They would come back together for a decision of what they were going to do. after they heard from the Lord. Pastor Phyllis goes to the Lord. And God gave her a word. How many know a word in due season? Whew. And God said, don't you sign for that package. It's not yours. How many ever had a UPS, Amazon driver, FedEx driver come up and they need a signature before they can give you the thing, right? And you signing that says, oh yeah, this is mine. I'll take this. This is mine. You sign for it. God began to give her that analogy and said, don't sign for that package. It's not yours. Send to returner. Return that thing. It's not yours. And so she began to pray. And wouldn't you know it? It got worse. And she told her family, this is not mine. I don't have this. I'm not signing for it. Her words were important and powerful. You know what the enemy of our soul wants us to do? He wants us to talk about our stuff in a possessive nature, meaning that it's ours. How many of you have ever heard anybody talk about their anxiety by them saying, well, my anxiety, my depression? They're owning that. With their words, they're owning it. They're saying, this is mine, it belongs to me. And so every day she'd get up and say, God, I thank you that you healed me. And I don't have this. This is not mine. I'm not saying it's mine. This is a sickness and a disease, but it's not mine. And it got so bad that Pastor Dosik told me this personally. I sat with him. And he said, I would get up in the morning and I begin to pray over her. Sometimes just pray in tongues the whole time. And I would begin to pull her arms open and pull her hands open and help her get out of bed and move her legs. And I'd pray. And I'd say, honey, why don't you just stay home today? Don't go to work. I know you're in a lot of pain. She said, no. This is not mine. And I'm going into work. And she'd get up and she'd go to work. She kept believing God and trusting God. And day after day, month after month, for a whole year, she struggled with this. And finally, God said, go back to the doctor and get rechecked. She thought, that's crazy. I still have every symptom that I have this disease. But you want me to go back now and get rechecked? They did blood work on her because she was obedient to the word of the Lord. That's, words are powerful. They're powerful. What we say matters. And what we say connects us to things. They're powerful. Are you getting this morning? She went back to the doctor's office with every sign that she had rheumatoid arthritis. They did blood work. The blood work came back and said, we cannot find a trace that says that you have this disease. You do not have this disease. This must have been a misdiagnosis. All while she still had every symptom. And she said, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're doing something. I'm trusting you. And she went home, and I can't remember the timeline. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to get it wrong, but at some point after she had that appointment, 4 days, thank you, 4 days after she had that appointment, not the next day, not the day after that, not even on the third day, it was on the fourth day that she went and got out of bed and she said, oh my goodness, hallelujah, it's completely gone. I don't feel it anymore. I don't have it anymore. And I knew I didn't have it because I didn't sign for it in the first place. But I don't have any evidence that this thing even exists in me anymore. God healed her of an incurable disease that they said that would cripple her. This woman's still up and going for Jesus to this day. She's still up and moving, still getting around. Why? Because she didn't sign for the package with what she said. But she decided to declare the word of God over her life. What you say matters. Because there's power in your words. Stop calling yourself an idiot. Stop calling yourself no good. Stop saying you can't do that. We all know we can't. But we also know the God who can. And let's connect ourselves with our words by speaking life over ourselves first. But church, don't stop there. Don't be selfish with the word of God over your life, but begin to turn and proclaim the word of God over other people's lives. You know what? One thing we struggle with sometimes, we struggle with declaring those things that are not as though they are in other people's lives. We'd rather talk about that no good son-in-law we got, that daughter-in-law that drives us nuts, talk about that child and how they're doing this and doing that, and it's all wrong. We talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. It's time we start declaring. You hear me? It's time we start declaring. What does the Bible say about our children? They are the heritage of the Lord. It's okay to look at the devil in the eyes and say, listen, you think you got him now. That's only temporary. That's only temporary. You be messing with them right now, but what you don't understand is they are the heritage of the Lord. They are the seed of the righteous. I'm believing that God is going to get a hold of them. They'll find themselves in a pig pen one day, and they'll come to themselves and say, hey, I need to get home. You don't believe me? If you're a prodigal in here this morning, raise your hand. Come on, start looking around. Oh, raise them high. Raise them high. Don't be ashamed of your story. Show the people what God did for you. You came to yourself because you were willing to submit to Him. Because why? Because somebody kept praying for you. There were prayers that were spoken over you. Because you are a godly heritage and you are the seed of the righteous. There are people who kept praying and kept praying and kept praying and wouldn't stop looking. They coming down the road yet? Not today, but maybe tomorrow. I'll go about my stuff next day. I'm looking. Are they coming down the road yet? Not today, but maybe tomorrow. I thank you, God. They are the seed of the righteous. They are the inheritance of the Lord. You begin to declare those things over their lives. Because they know the truth and they've walked away from it. And because they know it, at any moment, God can stir within their hearts and bring them right back. It's your words. Stop talking about all the terrible things they're doing and start declaring the things of God over their lives. God gave you a word for that child, then you begin to declare that word even though you don't see it. They might be running as hard as they can from God, but you just say, God, I know that you said they were going to be this. And that's what I declare over them because that's what you said. Whose report do you believe? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Come on, let's begin to grab scripture and begin to speak faith and declare the word of God over our situations. Because words have power. They have power. What we say matters. What we say connects us. If we're not careful, we'll connect ourselves to an evil thing just because we think we're talking about it. Well, we're trying to explain the situation. No, 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 no. Don't connect yourself to that evil thing. Don't sign for that package. If you stand to your feet and then come back to the music this morning. You see, here at the Lighthouse, we want to be like Jesus. And all we think and all we say and all we do. We want to be like Him. We don't want to be like anybody else. We want to be like Him. And it starts with our minds. It starts with what we allow in our minds and what we're doing with our thinking. But then from there it goes to our mouths and what we're saying. And church, I think it's time we get back to not just experiencing the glory of the Lord, not just experiencing His presence, but beginning to understand that we can live in His presence. And when we live in His presence, we are in the presence of something so holy. Everywhere we go, in everything we say, in everything we do, and in everything we think. And I'm reminded of the prophet Isaiah. As he had the vision, he was in the temple, and the power of God began to come down, and the glory of the Lord shone all around about him, and his train filled the temple. You have to understand that that train is the God's glory. And the longer the train, the more glory the king had. This train filled the temple. His glory filled the temple. And listen, we preach about it, we sing about it, we shout about it. We get all excited about the glory filling the temple. We've been talking about how we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We want His glory to fill us. But did you notice the reaction that the prophet had when he saw the holiness of God? Woe is me. I am unclean, undone, and a man of unclean lips. What he was saying was unclean. And he's the prophet of God. What he's saying was unclean. And in that moment, because he was willing to recognize his issue, he was recognizing, saying, I am not right. I see you, God, in all your holiness, the beauty of your holiness, and I am not right. Because he repented of that. The seraphim comes and takes the hot coal off the altar and sears his lips, touches his lips, and cleanses them immediately. That's how it works, church. When we come to the Lord and say, man, I've been messing this up. I'm not talking like you want me to talk, God. I'm sorry. I'm a man or a woman of unclean lips. And guess what He'll do? He'll purge your mouth and clean up what you're saying so that you can speak His glory. And let me just add this as a side note. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And this is why. Because you're actually training your body how to speak the words of God. That's what you're doing. When you begin to allow the Holy Spirit to move through you and speak for you, you are no longer in control of what you're saying. And you're giving God control of what you're saying. And it's teaching you how to speak the word of God instead of speaking the word of Joe. Or whatever your name is. So you should exercise and practice yourself in godliness by speaking in tongues and praying in tongues and praising in tongues and declaring these things in other languages, because you're allowing the Holy Spirit to move through you so that you can begin to speak the words of God. Now, if you don't have that experience very much, that's okay. Keep pressing in, keep trusting God. But here's another way that God likes to do it. God will begin then to prophesy through you, and in for us, most of us here, it can be in our native tongue, English, but all of a sudden you know you are not speaking your words anymore, but God is speaking through you. Both of those things can happen when you lend yourself to the Holy Spirit, but the initial evidence that we believe is the speaking in other languages. So practice in those things and ask God to bless you with those things. But don't stop there. Ask Him to prophesy through you. Ask Him to speak through you. And then don't stop there. Ask him to speak through you to other people. Right? Because sometimes, here's the thing, church, sometimes we get stuck because we preach doctrine so hard. Let's not make it a doctrinal thing. Let's make it a relational thing with God. That God speaks through us and we speak with God. Amen? Because he's cleaning up our mouth. He's cleaning up our mouth. How many of you want your mouth cleaned up? And I'm not talking about with Crest or Colgate or Listerine or Scope. I'm talking about with the Holy Spirit. Clean up what we say. Let's begin to speak the word of God over our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this moment right now. That it's a holy moment. That you have given us a word and you've given us the option to respond to that word. God, we want to take this moment to respond to what you're saying to us so that we can clean up our mouths and say what you want us to say, not what we think we need to say, not what we believe that the rest of the world wants us to say. God, we want to clean up our mouths because we want to be like you, Jesus. And all we say, we want to be like you. Hear our hearts cry, Father. Move upon us by your Holy Spirit. Begin to flow through us and transform us and change us. Forgive us of our filthiness and uncleanliness. Forgive us of our ignorance. I thank you that you're teaching us right now. And that you're moving through us by your holy power. You're transforming the way we think and the way we speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. As they begin to sing, first I want to give an invitation just to respond to the altar. If you feel like you just need to come and pray and talk with God, come and do that. Find a place right now. Don't hang back. Don't sit back. Don't wait. This is not meaning that you're a terrible person hungry for Jesus and you want to get close to him. So come on, let's just move in and let's just pray. But I wanted to offer this. I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, offer this. If you need prayer this morning for something, we're going to pray together. We're going to believe God that God's going to move and heal and bless whatever your need is. But we're also going to pray for those that maybe you're like, I want God's presence. I need a refilling. I need a refreshing. I need him to purge me and transform me and change me. If you need prayer for anything, come up and we'll pray with you. But don't miss this moment because it's getting late and I gotta leave. I gotta do this, gotta do that. No. Let's come in, let's focus with the Lord for a minute right here. And let's receive what he has for us. Come on, let's just begin to worship the Lord together.